Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking about doula training and everything that is encompassed by that, or at least getting you started on understanding. And to do that, I have brought on Mary Calderon. Hi, Mary.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited that you're here. Mary wrote in a few different times when I've put out, I need a story about this for the wine pairing you submitted and for a different episode too.
The one with pets.
Yes, the one with pets. Wonderful. And they were great stories. It was a great contribution. And so I was like, come on, get on the show.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. Thank you. I kind of bounce around the episodes sort of depending on my mood and what I want to be hearing or whatever, but I'm really enjoying them. I think you and all your guests do a really great job.
Thank you. And I'm excited for you to be a guest now.
Thank you.
So before we get started talking about doula, let's talk about your background a little bit. What brought you to nannying?
Yeah, so I've been a professional nanny for 13 years now, and I studied child development psychology in my undergrad, and then I kind of always assumed I would be a teacher, but then, you know, I was kind of nannying through college and doing like after school care and things like that, and after graduating, I got my first full-time nanny job and sort of didn't really look back after that. I did try working in like childcare centers and things like that, but you know, depending on the center, the focus is not always just on the children.
Right.
And I wanted to get back to sort of like one family where everybody sort of has the one goal to make sure the children's needs are all being met.
Right.
That can sometimes get lost in larger childcare centers.
For sure.
Where it's most like, you know, about sort of the financial bottom line and let's get as many kids as possible, you know, but...
And how can we make all of these philosophies flow together?
Exactly.
Whereas with one family, it's like,
yeah,
we're working on the same philosophy.
Mm-hmm. And then too, because, you know, the childcare field, you know, you have people that have gone to college and sort of have a child development background, and then other people who just have like years of experience from either being a parent or just always working with kids. And that sort of different level of professionalism also can affect, you know, childcare standards in a center.
Yes, for sure.
And, you know, because a lot of daycare providers don't always get paid very well, there's not an incentive to necessarily go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, affects the quality of the environment as well.
Yes.
So, So I've been a professional nanny for 13 years, and most of that was in Seattle. After graduating, I moved to Seattle, and then 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, I moved to Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah, and so.
Wonderful.
And then about just over a year ago, I transitioned to just part-time nannying, and so that I could focus on also doing part-time doula work.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Well, you transitioned us beautifully into talking about doula. So let's start with just, what is doula?
Yeah, so a doula is it's an ancient Greek word for mm-hmm. woman who serves, and now it is most commonly a trained professional who provides continuous physical, emotional, and informational support to a mother before, during, and shortly after childbirth, so that she can achieve the healthiest and most satisfying experience possible. And doulas always provide like non-judgmental support. They're almost always offering just evidence-based information to kind of dispel beliefs about, you know, pregnancy, childbirth, the postpartum, breastfeeding, kind of trying to get rid of those old wives' tales sort of thing. And, you know, the way people had babies and raised babies 30 years ago is different than we're doing it now. And so just trying to help parents navigate that information from right. like what grandma's saying to like what the doctor's saying, and just trying to give them all of the information so that they can make the best choice for that for themselves.
Right. So not telling them what to do, but providing right. fact-based.
Exactly. Fact-based, research-based, scientific, whatever it is they need.
Right.
Yeah, so that they can make a good decision, basically, for themselves.
Right.
And I don't ever impose my philosophy on uh-huh. them. I kind of help them realize what theirs is, right?
Right.
So I'll give them all this information, and then they get to choose whether or not they take the advice or whatever they want to do.
Yeah, yeah, of course, which is such a lovely thing. And I think that... certainly, I haven't given birth to a child ever, but I can only imagine that that is a very complicated and yeah, you're getting such conflicting information from so many different places in your life and places that you trust, mm-hmm. like your own parents.
Right.
And you're like, but wait, this doesn't sit right with what right. the doctor's telling me.
Right.
And so
exactly.
having someone to help you navigate all that.
Yes.
Who is emotionally out of it.
Right. Yes. Not bias or yeah. anything like that. Yeah. And so there are birth doulas mm-hmm. and there are postpartum doulas. And a birth doula can be both.
Right.
The birth doula is pretty much a labor coach mm-hmm. and kind of prenatal coach too, if that's what you want. And the goal of the birth doula is to empower the birthing parents to or parent to kind of have the birth that they want. That
right.
they envision. And so that can either be a home birth, you know, a hospital birth, a birthing center, unmedicated, medicated, even women who elect to have a cesarean, a scheduled cesarean, they might have a doula too. To
okay. kind of,
because they still have to get to a certain point before they can, you know, begin the operation. And so the birth coach, the doula, excuse me, when she's coaching the mom or the partner, she has all kinds of tools and techniques to help manage pain and just kind of get through the stages of labor.
Right.
And she can, if there's a partner, she can support the partner too. If it's, for example, a very long birth, mm-hmm. everybody needs a rest.
Yes.
And so the doula is always there with the birthing person so that if the partner or the other support person needs a break or rest or needs to go eat after, say, I don't know, 12 hours of labor,
yeah.
they can do that. And somebody will still be with the, you know, the birthing person.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Fills me with a sense of relief. Like, I'm not even.
Yeah.
But yeah, that and when unexpected things come up,
exactly.
then there's someone there that's not
yep.
going through the physical exertion
exactly.
of and giving birth.
Yeah. And then, you know, especially if you're in a hospital or a birthing center, you know, you've got doctors, you've got nurses, you've got all these people coming in and saying, okay, well, let's, you know, we think that this should happen, or, you know, here's your options, you can do this. And then, but they don't really kind of educate you to the full extent on the pros and the cons. And so
right.
the doula can say, hey, do you want to take some time, like ask the birthing person, do you want to take some time to think about that? And we can talk about the advantages and the disadvantages. And then, you know, the birthing person can say, yeah, actually, I think, like, do we need to make a decision in this moment, or can I talk it out?
Right.
And so it's sort of empowering them to, you know, get in information and then make a decision.
Yeah.
So
that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
So what is a doula not?
So a doula is not a midwife.
Right.
And it's not medical at all. And so it's really important to that parents know that, like, the doula is not going to diagnose anything.
Right.
She's not going to administer medicine, nothing like that. And since I work predominantly in postpartum, so after birth, mm-hmm. with families after they bring their babies home, I always say, you know, I'm not going to diagnose anything. I'm an expert in normal.
Right.
And so I can tell you everything that's normal and average, but if I see something that's not normal or not average, I'm going to say, you should call the pediatrician, or you should call the care provider. Like, this is not, you know, a typical scenario.
Right.
And because I don't want to get sued.
Yes.
For, like, you know, I'm not a nurse. I'm not a doctor. And so that's very specific. And with a birth doula, you know, in training, they always say, you know, you're sort of by the person's head.
Right.
Like, whispering encouragement to them and coaching them, whereas a midwife and a doctor is catching the baby.
Okay.
Like, the doula doesn't do anything like that. She's not going to catch
not
a baby.
Below the waist.
Unless you're suddenly, like, delivering on the side of the road and she has to.
Right.
But in most scenarios, she's just going to kind of be, you know, by your ear, guiding you, supporting you, and not catching babies.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's great. So, how does the certification process work? What does one need to do?
Yeah, so you can, so there's two certifications if you want to be a birth doula and a postpartum doula, or both. And birth work is very much often like a calling and a passion. And birth doulas will sometimes, most of the birth doulas that I've met, not all of them, but most of them become birth doulas because of the pregnancy experience that they had and the labor experience that they had. So then they want it to be different or better, whatever their scenario is for future parents. And that's why they might become doulas.
Right.
Yeah. So you don't have to be certified to practice as a doula, but its certification is the way that they're sort of trying to professionalize and legitimize birth work and doulas and the work that they do. And so a lot of doulas who only volunteer, for example, they might not be certified, but they'll you definitely have to go through a training.
Right.
And then, but not necessarily be certified. So a lot of the doulas I've met that only do volunteer work, they haven't certified because they just don't want to, I don't know, maybe put in the time or the effort, because it is, can kind of be a lot of paperwork. So there are many different organizations nationally, locally, internationally that you can certify through.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of have to research one that you feel like following or certifying through.
Just like going to a college, like picking a college.
Exactly. Because there's going to be organizations that are, like I said, known nationally or internationally. So depending on, like, if you plan on maybe being a traveling doula,
mm-hmm.
and working all over the country, you may want to go with an organization that, you know, is more nationally known.
Right.
Or if, for example, you only want to practice, I don't know, we'll say in Eastern Washington,
mm-hmm.
there's like local doula certifications for that area.
Right.
And so because the trainings they're not cheap.
Right.
I would say the average training is around $500 and can go up. And
right.
So that can last anywhere from 1 to like 5 days.
Right, yeah.
So the organization I went through, DONA, it was 37 hours over 4 days.
Right.
And that was broken up in 2 weekends because they try to kind of meet people where they're at. And a lot of people already have, you know, full-time jobs or whatever. So they'll hold them in evenings or on the weekends or whatever. So you don't have to kind of take time off of work to do that sort of stuff.
And I can also imagine that splitting it up like that over 2 different weekends,
mm-hmm.
Is helpful to help you absorb the information.
Exactly.
Of like, you get to sit with the first half for
mm-hmm.
a week
before
coming back and learning.
Right. And so once you go to a training, they might have some prerequisites. Like, once you sign up, they might say, oh, you know, make sure you read like 2 or 3 of these books from a list. And they might be about breastfeeding, might be about childbirth, or it might be, you know, about communication or something like that, or newborns or something like that. And then once you do the training, you'll probably have a list of other books that they want you to read. And then you have to almost always do a breastfeeding training that can either be online or in person. And a lot of doulas will teach breastfeeding classes, for example. And so you can, and those can be relatively inexpensive. We're talking like, you know, a few hours one day and maybe like $40 to $60
right,
for a breastfeeding training. I did one that was more intense, but only because I've never had a baby myself and I've never breastfed a baby. So right. I did one that was a week long so that I could get a lot of hands-on kind of experience with other mothers. But if a doula has already had her own baby, she might kind of have the basis for it and just need education on how to coach other women in proper breastfeeding if that's what they want.
Right.
But again, because doulas are usually not biased, or trying to be not biased, you know, they want to encourage the mom to do what she wants to do. So even if she's like, I'm only going to pump and feed the baby express breast milk, then we support her in that and help her with that sort of thing.
I can only imagine that just having someone legitimize your choices is just so amazing.
Yeah.
It's making me think of that episode of 30 Rock. Did you ever watch that show?
No, I didn't.
Well, Tina Fey has a baby, or she's going to have a baby, and just like she's researching and she ends up getting on this like online fight with a different mother,
right?
You know, and just there's so much telling mothers how to do things and that they're doing it wrong, quote unquote. So just having someone there to be like, no, you got this. Yeah. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever choice you make is legit.
Is the right choice. Yeah. It's the right choice. Whatever choice that makes you happy and makes you comfortable, that's the right choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah, especially in the age of social networking where you have all different moms groups and, you know, breastfeeding groups, baby wearing groups, you have all these groups that are very passionate. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they have a hard time seeing why somebody would want to be on the other side.
Right.
You know, and they're just like so pro breastfeeding, they can't imagine anything else, or they're, you know, not pro, you know, pumping or whatever the scenarios. And that's really hard for moms.
You know,
just the judgment and things like that. And, you know, a lot of the families that I work with, the moms will be working moms.
Right.
And then there's that whole thing. Like, I'm not staying home with my baby. Like, I'm wrong for that, you know, that sort of stuff. So, yeah, validating, you know, women's feelings and saying, and also saying, like, you're human for feeling this way.
Right.
You know, like, it's, I would feel really bad about myself, too, if I was kind of having someone judge me and tell me I'm doing it wrong and things like that. So
yeah,
that's really, really important to just support any choice that they make.
Yes. So, that I'm learning so much already. I'm so excited.
And then a lot, continuing on with like the certification requirements, after a breastfeeding class, like if you're going to be a birth doula, they'll often want you to kind of shadow or sit in on a childbirth class. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of see the information that families are getting. And so you know how to kind of help them navigate that. And then you have to have usually like professional evaluations, like maybe nurses and doctors that saw you working with the parents when they were going through their labor process. And then even as a postpartum doula, often like if you're certifying, somebody else has to have seen you supporting the birthing person.
Okay.
So like, for example, if it's a single mom, like maybe if there was a grandmother around or a neighbor or something like that, they want to know that, like from an outside perspective, like the support you're giving is helpful.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So they'll have it, and they're pretty simple evaluations, you know, like did the doula, you know, was she knowledgeable of, you know, resources that the mom asked about, you know, did she seem like she could support, you know, the mother in XYZ, you know, like it's pretty simple. And then it's just like 1 to 4, like 1, she did terrible, 4, she did great. And then really important too is sort of a business webinar. Like a lot of the certification process is like, do you know what you're getting yourself into if you're going into a business by yourself or just trying to launch like your own birth business? Like that's a lot of work.
Are there ways for a doula to work through a different like place, like a birthing center? Will they hire a doula or?
Yeah, so usually after you're certified.
Okay, right.
Yeah, so at least the hospitals in the U.S. So because doulas are in a position where they are, birth doulas especially, are in a position where they're mitigating, you know, pain and intervention that might have to happen.
Right.
that's really lowering the hospital bill.
Right.
And so, you know, with our current healthcare in its state, like they're trying to, doulas are still trying to find their way into like, where do we fit on that financial aspect of it? And how can families get reimbursed for their doula? Because, you know, having a doula like at your birth lowers the odds of you needing an unplanned cesarean and unnecessary like pain medication and things like that. There are plenty of women that still opt for that after, you know, a long labor or whatever, or they know that that's what they want no matter what. But the doula can still like reduce the need for other unnecessary interventions.
Yeah.
And that saves dollars for the hospital, for the birthing family, for all of that. And so there are some hospitals around the nation that do employ birth doulas, and they're sort of salaried. And those are like, you know, coveted positions.
Yes, I bet.
And so after you certify, that's definitely an avenue you can go down. And so I know like nationally in the U.S., like DONA, Doulas of North America, they are really well known because they're the oldest certifying agency like in the U.S. and they've been around for 25 years. And so anyone who's certified through DONA like just has a very good kind of reputation because their standards of practice they know are just really good.
Yeah.
And so that bringing that up, like different doula organizations are going to have different sort of mission statements and different codes of ethics and different standards of practice. And so when you're researching who you want to certify through, it's really important that you believe in that organization's mission and their standards of practice. Because if, like, for example, there are some organizations that don't believe that doulas should work like in a sliding scale for maybe like people that are low income, they don't believe like you should work for free because they think that that like doesn't, that makes it harder for other doulas to make a living wage. And so then if they find out that you are doing that, like working for less money or working for free, then they're like, we're not going to certify you. Like,
okay,
see you later. So like you just have to, and there's like advantages and disadvantages to all that, right? Like I get what they're saying, but that might not be my personal vision. Because again, I said, like I said before, doula work is a passion driven sort of career. And if you want to work for free for somebody because you think they deserve it, then you should. Like that's totally up to you. But you have the choice to who you certify through. So you can always make that decision.
That makes total sense. Are there any other steps in the certification process?
Yeah, and so then once you go through sort of the behind the scenes stuff of like the education aspect of it, then you have to find families to support. And so like here in Chicago for birth doulas, you can one way to kind of find families is Chicago Volunteer Doulas. They have a volunteer doula program. And so, yeah, and I believe that you can either be matched up with a family that meets the needs for Chicago volunteer doulas, and then kind of you'll be their designated doula, or you can be doulas on shifts, like 12-hour shifts. And so, like, for example, I think how it works with them is, like, say you're available on Saturdays, and somebody that fits the profile for Chicago volunteer doulas goes into labor on Saturday, then they'll call you. Like, we have somebody who's going into labor, and then you go there for that shift. And then the one good thing with that is, since it is a 12-hour shift, you know you'll be done in 12 hours. And then if the woman hasn't given birth yet or the person hasn't given birth yet, then another volunteer will step in. Because that is, I would say that is the hardest part about being a birth doula is, you know, a labor can be 36 hours long, possibly. And so how does that look for, you know, like, can you sustain for 36 hours? Do you need a backup doula that you can call and be like, hey, I'm in hour 20 and I'm losing steam. Do you want to like come take over for me? So, that's one.
Even for like a few hours. So that...
And so with postpartum work, I had actually reached out to like a local like Facebook moms group and said, hey, you know, I'm a doula in training and I'm looking for families that'll help me with my certification if you know you're, and I remember I had like a specific time frame because I had decided then that I was gonna stop working full time as a nanny so that I could find families. Because if you're working full time, when are you going to support people in any other capacity?
Right.
And so I said, I think it was like, if you're giving birth between like September and March, you mm-hmm. know, you know, please reach out to me if you want to learn more about postpartum doula work and what I can, you know, offer you and support you in and stuff like that. And so then I had like several moms like kind of reach out to me and see what I was all about. And so that's how I found my families for it. And then I also had friends who knew that I was a doula, and then they had friends who were pregnant, and they were like, hey, can I give them your contact information? I know they're expecting a baby, you know, in whenever. And right. I was like, yeah, that's great. So it's also like, once you start working as a doula, it's a very referral based. Like,
right.
You know, you.
Somewhat like nannying. Mm-hmm, exactly. Ends up being.
Yeah. The families have a great experience with you, and then they say, hey, can I give out your contact information? And I always say yes.
Please. Right.
Like, that's what drives my business.
Yes, so, exactly.
Yeah. And there's no, and then also too, if it's referral based, I don't necessarily have to sell the idea of a doula to the person. They kind of already know that's probably what they want.
Right.
I just have to sell them me,
right,
you know, why I should be the best. And I kind of have this a philosophy that a lot like when nannying, not every family is a perfect fit,
right?
And sometimes, you know, a person's personality may not mesh with mine, and I already know that I might have difficulty supporting them. Mm-hmm. Then I might just not be the doula for them,
right?
And so, you know, I respect that too. Like, it's the interview process is very, you know, two-sided.
Right.
Just like in a nanny family interview.
Yes. So, yes. Yeah. Because, yeah, if you aren't the best fit, then it's not serving either side.
Right. Right.
To do that.
Exactly.
Because it's not going to be as rewarding for you.
Right.
So then you're just off to the races, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then the one, I would say the hardest part about being a birth doula is babies have, you know, babies being born is whenever they want to be born.
Right.
And so being on call is difficult. So you may, we call it a guess date instead of a due date, because uh-huh. you really have no idea when the baby's coming.
Right.
And so most birth doulas will be on call 2 weeks before the guest date and 2 weeks after in the right. event that the baby comes early or late. And so you are just kind of waiting around at that time.
Yeah.
And then with postpartum work, I'm often just like, I have this like window of time where I just have to be more flexible because I don't know when they're going to have the baby or how smoothly the birth is going to go. And, you know, if they'll be in the hospital for an extended period of time or if the baby will come home right away. And so there's, you know, you kind of have, I do spend a lot of time just waiting for babies to be born.
Right.
And then just kind of like, you know, it's, I'm anxious. I'm like, when's the baby going to be here?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How does the money work if it's all kind of guesswork?
Right. And so birth doulas sort of, they sell a package.
Right.
For example, like they might say they do two prenatal visits mm-hmm. and then getting to know the birth person and or the partner. And then they kind of make a birth plan together if the family doesn't already have a birth plan. And then the baby's born and uh-huh. she'll say, have like, I'm just going to throw out a random number. Say she charges $750 per birth.
Right.
That includes the two prenatal visits. That includes however many hours the woman's going to be in labor.
Right.
And then maybe one or two postpartum visits after they come home with the baby. And again, like, doulas can either work for free and include all of that sort of services, or they can charge $500 or they can charge $4,000.
Right.
It just depends on their experience and, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I've known doulas that, like, new doulas that have just charged very little mm-hmm. Because they just wanted to get the experience.
Right.
And then, you know, I've met doulas that do charge like $4,000.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
And sometimes they have, you can kind of have add-on services. There are doulas that do placenta encapsulation, mm-hmm. Doulas that will sort of be your child birth educator. Mm-hmm. And so they'll do kind of like a one-on-one childbirth class as opposed to paying for like 8 weeks.
Right.
You know, to go to a class with a group of people. They'll teach infant massage. So like they have these other mm-hmm. add-on things that, you know, might help drive their business as well, that,
right,
that families benefit from.
Okay.
Yeah. And great.
Or could they lead a birth class for a group of people?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
I would think that would be.
Yeah. And that all can require extra sort of education, not right, necessarily certification, but just like extra education.
Right.
Just to learn how to teach that sort of stuff, for example. And with postpartum care, like I just charge like an hourly rate. Mm-hmm. And so I work by referrals for myself, and then I also do postpartum care as an independent contractor through Chicagoland Doulas,
okay,
which is a tiny little agency run by this wonderful birth and postpartum doula named Anne. And that is just hourly at that point.
Okay, mm-hmm, great.
So
just curious how it all works.
Yeah, and so I guess I didn't touch base on postpartum
specifics,
which is silly because that's primarily what I do. But
we often overlook our own.
I just get so passionate, like talking about the other aspects. So with postpartum support, it can be daytime support or overnight support. And again, like a postpartum doula is expert in normal.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the family's needs, your responsibilities are different every day. So it's a lot of newborn education, emotional support.
Right.
There'll be, you know, physical support in terms of if a mom had any postpartum complications or she had a cesarean section, like she needs more physical support with, you know, how to heal her body.
Right.
And things like that. So, like she might not be able to walk upstairs, or she may be, you know, confined to the bed for several days or something like that. So kind of helping her navigate that. If there was any sort of trauma after the birth, like you can, women who go through pregnancy, or I'm sorry, go through labor can develop pneumonia.
Right.
Because going through labor is actually a traumatic event.
Yes.
I've worked with families where the mom sprained her ankle in childbirth like in a, you know, a boot and walking around on crutches. Can't really carry a baby if you have to walk around with crutches.
Yeah.
So just like helping them navigate.
Or if they did have a cesarean, not being able to pick up the baby and things like that.
Yeah, if you have, you know, a very large baby.
Right, yes.
There's weight limits. So there's that. And then I do a lot of kind of helping moms establish breastfeeding, and I'll kind of do breastfeeding coaching. But I'm not internationally like certified lactation consultant.
Okay.
So if I see something that may be more of a medical concern, I'll refer them to, you know, IBCLC, which is a board certified lactation consultant. And a lot of IBCLCs are also nurses. And if I see anything abnormal, if the mom develops any sort of fever or something like that, I'll always encourage them to call the care provider and things like that. And then with newborn education, a lot of parents, even if they have been around babies, they've, you know, always been around, say, a baby that was already like 4 months old.
Right.
Right. Newborns are a species all on by themselves.
They really are.
They're so different and they change every day. The first, you know, 12 weeks are just very different from how a baby is later. And, you know, when you see babies on TV, they're already like 4 to 6 months old.
Right.
So it's just, again, just different. A lot of families are surprised by how much newborns cry.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
And so I get a lot of, is this normal questions? Like, oh, the baby's always crying. Is this normal? Oh, the baby's, you know, still sleeping a lot. Is this normal? Oh, the baby can only stay awake for 35 minutes at a time. Is that normal? And it always is, right? It always is. And so just there's a huge weight lifted off parents' shoulders when I say, yes, that's normal. That is all babies. All babies are doing this right now.
Right.
And you are, every parent in your position is nervous about that. You know? So they just, it always feels good to them to have, you know, I literally see their shoulders relax as soon as I say, yes, that's normal. They're like, oh, thank God.
Right. Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
A question that just came to my mind is, would a doula ever work with a family that was adopting a baby?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So adoption, families having a baby through surrogacy.
Yeah.
They all need, you know, to adjust to becoming parents and having this newborn too. Yeah. And so, I do work with families that adopt. And families that have had a baby through a surrogate. Yeah, same scenario. Like, they still have the same questions about newborn care. And, you know, they can, that mother and father, they can still suffer from postpartum depression.
Right.
Because it's a very anxiety-ridden time. And, you know, it's just, it's scary and it's changed. And the day that a baby was born was also the day the mom and the father were born.
Right.
That, those people did not exist before that baby was born.
Yes.
And so you kind of have to grieve that former person and be like, okay, like, they're still in there, but now I'm also a mom and I'm also a, or I'm also a dad or whatever the scenario is. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Just, that just came to my mind, but that seems like such a wonderful resource for a family that is adopting or going through surrogacy.
Yeah.
Great. What are some benefits of becoming a doula, like transitioning potentially from being a nanny
to a doula? Like, I feel like it's a pretty, like, especially if you have a lot of infant experience, I feel like it's a very kind of natural course.
Right.
Because that's sort of what happened to me. I was a doula before I even knew I was a doula.
Right.
So from working as a nanny, and I was, you know, taking care of all of these babies and all of these infants from the time they were, you know, 3 months and older, I just started to gain a lot of knowledge about normal infant behavior.
Right.
And so then as my friends and my cousins started having babies, I would I was living in Seattle at the time that this was happening as my friends and family were having babies. And I would fly back to Michigan when the baby was around 3 weeks old and just help out for a week or two just out of love.
Right.
And because I had some wisdom to, you know,
impart.
Exactly. And I didn't know that I was, that's what a doula was. And
right.
so like, and I would do stuff like laundry and wash bottles and just kind of be there with the mom while, you know, their partner was probably not on paternity leave at any point at that point anymore. And I would just kind of be a support person because I loved them and it was a good excuse to be around them, you know, cause I live so far away.
Right.
And then I flew back to Seattle after one of those such visits, and I was telling somebody, someone had asked why I had been in Michigan, and I told them, and they said, oh, so you're a doula. And I was like, what's that?
Yeah.
And they were like, it's a birth profession. It's, you support women after they have a baby or when they have a baby. And I was like, what?
Wow.
And so then I started researching, and then lo and behold, Seattle was doula mecca, and I didn't know that. And that's when I was like, okay, like, this might be what I do after I stop nannying. Like,
right.
I think I will be a doula. So yeah, so that is one benefit, kind of transitioning from being a nanny. And then also, you know, you can kind of be your own boss in a different way. Like, you know, you make the hours, you kind of call the shots. And, you know, there is, as nannies, we work really long hours.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, with an exception of going through a very long labor, you might not work like those long hours, right?
Right.
And then there's a turnover because you, as a doula, you work yourself out of a job.
Right.
And so you, in the beginning, when you start, the parents are kind of confused and scared. And then you give them all these tools and you impart all of this information on them. And then they realize that they can do it on their own, and then they suddenly just don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
And like, then you're like, oh, my job is done now.
Right.
And, you know, you kind of walk away like feeling, like, families are always very appreciative.
Right.
In a different way than nanny families are appreciative.
Right.
And so that's, I think, one of the biggest benefit and kind of one of the reasons people become doulas is like that appreciation and that, I don't know, it's just, to me, it's like a euphoria. It's like, as soon as the family's like, you've been so helpful, we don't need you anymore, I'm like, oh, my work is done here.
It's yeah. Like,
it's very interesting. I didn't know that I would kind of be that happy about it. Like, I don't know. It's very interesting. So
That's wonderful. What are some of the cons of being a doula?
Yeah, so the cons are, obviously, it's not easy to live on call if you're a birth doula.
Right.
You know, you won't be able to make set plans, you know, like birthday parties, weddings. Like, you could be called to go to a birth. You could be sleeping and then be called to go to a birth. So that's not an easy lifestyle. And, you know, if you are a parent yourself, obviously, you have to have a really flexible and solid childcare support system.
Yes.
that can't be easy. I don't have any children of myself, but I can't imagine.
Right.
And that's actually one of the reasons why I don't do birth work right now, is because I do part-time nanny, mm-hmm. and my part-time family needs me to be reliable, and I can't really go to birth just at a drop if I'm responsible for a child.
Right.
So there's that.
Come on, you're going to get an education today, kid.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And then I think, too, like, because birth work is passion-driven, you, after you go through the training and you're super excited about starting this new career adventure, there's the business aspect of it.
Right.
It's a lot of work to be your own boss. There's marketing, network, you know, the cost of websites, the cost of business cards. There's a lot of unpaid time that I spend answering emails, answering text messages, networking. Like, you really have to network.
Figuring out taxes.
Figuring out taxes, just all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I was not prepared for it. And
right.
in the past year that I've been working part-time as a postpartum doula, I'm like, wow, I wish I kind of had a business coach.
Right.
Because it's just, I feel like I bit off a little bit more than I could chew at the time.
Yeah.
But I gave myself a year to kind of go through this learning curve.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I still have part-time nannying to fall back on. And then, of course, I can always continue on as a nanny.
Right.
Full-time if I really just can't do it. but because right. I was like, I need a fallback plan.
Yes.
Like, if this doesn't work or whatever. So that, I would say, you know, you want a solid support, maybe like a business coach, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that can even be just another doula that you meet
that
already has their own established doula business. And so as a doula, you can be self-employed, you can work for another doula, or you can go through an agency and, you know, be an independent contractor.
Right.
So, yeah. And that works a lot like a nanny agency, whereas families reach out to the agency for a doula, and then they have like a pool of doulas that they can
match you up.
That they match you up with. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of takes out a lot of that behind the scenes stuff out of it.
And then usually does the family then eat the cost of the agency?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like, for example, like maybe the agency, and I'll use like postpartum support, like, say a family is like, oh, I want postpartum support for 2 weeks, like 8 hours a day. Then the agency might charge like $30 to the family and the nanny makes 20.
Right.
I don't know. That's like a random number I'm throwing out there. But
that's
it works.
The idea.
Yeah, that's the idea. So
very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are all really good options.
Yeah.
What have you been surprised by in your experiences as a doula?
I was sort of surprised by, like, the cultural diversity aspect of it.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, I have not gone through the childbirth experience myself. And so I didn't really realize until I went through the training, until I started working with families who had just had babies, you know, like, the different cultural practices around birth and postpartum.
Yeah.
So that was very, really surprising and beautiful to me, like just the differences between, say, Muslim families and Chinese families and Jewish families, and they're, you know, have these deep-rooted cultural traditions around labor and postpartum that I think are really beautiful. And then something that as doulas you have to be sensitive to,
you know?
So like, if especially in a place like Chicago where it's so diverse here, you just want to be aware, partially so that you don't offend anybody too,
mm-hmm.
when you're helping them kind of have this birth experience they want or this postpartum experience that they want. You want to be sensitive to those sort of cultural changes and ideas, and because that can even translate into like how they receive healthcare.
Right.
Like the way we do things here in the U.S. may be very different from how traditionally they would do it in their, you know, native country.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
There's that. And then I think, too, like I had mentioned, the appreciation aspect of it was just very different than as a nanny family. Or in a nanny family. Like, when you're a nanny, you're definitely someone's employee.
Right.
Right? Whereas a doula, you're selling your service before anybody has even hired you. You sort of, so there's just, I don't know, there's a different way of thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
And that was just sort of surprising to me. I didn't realize that I would see that or even feel that way at the time. Yeah. But and it's an honor and a privilege when someone chooses you to like help them with this experience and support them through this experience in a way that it's different, like helping another family kind of raise their children.
Right.
It's just a very different experience.
Yeah. So it's very intimate.
It's very intimate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing these people in their most vulnerable states. Yes. Right. And so, and that's just like beautiful and powerful. So.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That gave me goosebumps. and you've somewhat touched on this throughout, but how has being a nanny assisted you in working with moms as a doula?
Yeah. And so as a nanny, in like all through my interview processes and when I've practiced as a nanny, I try to always have a very tranquil, peaceful, calm environment. And I didn't really realize how much that would translate into doula work.
Right.
That, you know, this kind of chaotic time of having a baby and maybe this confusing time in postpartum, like people just really benefit from a calming presence and a peaceful presence. And so I bring that, what I've kind of fostered through my nanny career, into my practice as a doula, and people are really receptive to that. And sometimes I don't even realize I do it until they say, oh, you're just so calm and I feel so relaxed. And I'm thinking, oh, great. 'Cause that's exactly how I want you to feel.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, infants and toddlers, like they pick up on anxiety and fear and all of those emotions. And so I, you know, my confidence in things like that sort of translates to where, you know, if I walk into a home and the baby has been crying for however many hours and the mom or the dad are feeling frazzled and, the, you know, they hand me the baby like, oh, please, they've been crying for hours. And then the baby immediately stops crying.
Right.
And they're like, why? How? And I always say, well, I'm not tired. I've already eaten. Right. Like, I haven't been listening to the baby cry. Like, the baby just picks up on that energy and that vibe, you know.
Right.
And so you take a deep breath and we'll try to kind of have the rest of the day go this way. And then they're like, oh, okay, great. Yeah. When that sounds beautiful.
That I totally can see how nannying would give you that.
Yeah. And then I think my doula training helped me kind of see from an older sibling's perspective, like, what was going to happen when a new baby came.
Right.
Like, you know, I have been a nanny for plenty of people where there was like multiple children, or I started with their firstborn and then they had other children. Mm-hmm. And I was, of course, always helping the older sibling kind of adjust to the new baby. But the training kind of gave me tools to really understand like why the older sibling needs to be a priority.
Right.
Because this is kind of a traumatic experience for them too. Like they're usually excited to have a sibling, but they don't really understand what that means.
Right. Until how could they?
Yeah, exactly. And so I remember one very specific thing I learned in training was having a breastfeeding basket or a feeding basket specific for the older child, so that when the baby was going to nurse or eat, like the older child had a special basket with special toys or books or whatever that they read only when the baby was eating.
Okay.
So that they kind of had a special thing to do, like while the mom or the nanny was, you know, preoccupied or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I always kind of tell families, like, let's do this. Like, if, you know, they're having their second or multiples and they already have an older child.
Right.
And that's like been really beneficial. And I think, too, like I have a really good rapport with toddlers. So then when I come for postpartum visits, and you know, the family opens the door and they've got the new baby and then the toddler comes running, I always pay attention and try to address the oldest child first and kind of give them undivided attention, because they're already like, oh my God, like this new baby's been crying, or they can sense that mom and dad or mom and mom or dad and dad are, you know, anxious or whatever. And so just really like, really focused on giving them like undivided attention for 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is they need.
Right.
And helping them process this new baby and the new growing family and that sort of thing. So
yeah. What wonderful advice that I would not have thought of. that's very helpful. And you mentioned like with with older children. Has anything in your doula experience helped with like even older children, like not toddlers, but like school age?
Yeah, kids? Yeah. I mean, just getting them involved in like their role as right. an older sibling, right? And always having them help. Like if they kind of like I give the parents hands-on troubleshooting, I call it like troubleshooting tools,
yeah,
to soothe and care for the baby. I'll do the same thing with the older siblings, like in elementary or even like if they're in middle school or something right. like that. And really get them involved, like show them how to give the baby a bath, you know, have them assist, yeah. have them assist the parents and like hands-on, like give them roles. Like, for example, with elementary age kids, I would always have I think she was in kindergarten or first grade, and I would always have her get the diapers, even though I could get the diapers myself. Right. I was like, oh, the baby needs to change. Can you please bring me the diapers? And then she would say, oh my gosh, yes, I'm going to go. Yeah. I'm going to go and get it. And so she had like a specific role. Mm-hmm. She was like, I can do the diapers. That is one thing I can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just, yeah, giving them specific tasks and not to feel like a burden, but just right. to like feel helpful, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah, because usually kids want to be involved.
Yes, exactly.
It's a baby is an exciting thing for everyone. So if someone wants to learn more about becoming a doula, because we kind of discussed before we started recording that an hour or however long this episode is not enough time to cover everything. If they wanted to learn more, what are some resources?
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's pretty easy online. Like if, for example, like I said, a lot of the organizations can be very specific to your region.
Right.
And so even just, for example, we'll take Chicago, for example, just saying like doula trainings in Chicago, and then you mm-hmm. have certain ones pop up. And like I said, make sure to review like sort of the mission and their standards of practice and their code of ethics to make sure that it all syncs up with what you believe in.
Right.
And then like the book, The Birth Partner, mm-hmm. Is a really good book that kind of just gives you it's not a summary, it's very in depth, but it shows you a lot about what it means to be a birth partner.
Right.
And it's written for not just doulas, but the person who's actually going to be like a birth partner, like the father or, you know, the significant other.
Yeah.
And then on the business aspect of it, there's a really good book called The Doula Business Guide. Ooh. That gives you all the ins and outs of exactly what it means to have a birth business. And if you'll see if you're cut out for it, like
right.
just reading the summary, I was like, oh my God, can I do this? But right. it's realistic. Like if you want to have a viable birth business, like you really have to look at that stuff. And like I said, being a doula is not just something you do. Like you really, it has to be a very passion
right.
sort of project. And, you know, have a realistic timeline of if you are going to do a training and you want to become certified, have a realistic timeline of when you can make that happen. Because like DONA, for example, the organization that I certified through, like you had to, from the time you took the training to the time you wanted to certify, it had to happen within 3 years.
Okay.
And right. so I had to fit that into like, okay, when do I stop working full time so that I can take on clients? Like, how is that exactly going to work so that I can fulfill all the reading and get all of the families to support, fill out all of the certification requirements? Because you like with a lot of organizations, you have to like write essays and, you know, do like journal entry type of things. And so that all takes time. And then again, because you never know how long with postpartum support, exactly, you don't know if you're going to work with the family for 2 weeks or for, you know, maybe they had multiples and that's 6 months.
Right.
And so like, you have to like really try to fit that all in a timeline.
Yeah.
And then like, so once you kind of figure that all out, you know, just have a very clear vision, like your goals, like step by step, and just kind of check them off. Because it can be, the certification process can be time consuming. It's absolutely worth it.
Right.
But you just have to really be organized. And yes. You can't just be like, yes, I'm going to be a doula and I'm going to be certified and it's going to happen in a year. It doesn't work right. that way. And with some organizations, you can, like, once you have clients, you may not have as much paperwork, but you'll have like a test, mm-hmm. Open book test, that where they just want to make sure that you can answer all the questions that families have. they want to know that you've like done the reading and that you can be a good support person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just thinking through this as a jumping off place for a resource, if a parent, a mom is listening, or a birth person is listening to this and is interested in finding a doula, what are ways to go about researching and finding a doula that fits with your personal philosophy?
Doulamatch.net is literally like a phone book of doulas.
Yeah.
And you can go in and you can say, I'm in, for example, Chicago, Illinois. This is, you know, I'm looking for a birth doula, a postpartum doula, and then all these doulas will pop up and you can see how much they charge on average, if they have a website, like all that. And so it's just a directory.
Great.
So that's one way of going about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just thought of that and I was like, wait.
And there's a lot of too, like, I mean, if you find out you're pregnant, your pediatrician or your OBGYN or your just your midwife, anybody, like, they will often have like doulas maybe that they know or they've worked or they've had clients that have worked with. And because, like I said, it's a very referral driven business. Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. And then do you have any like last words of advice for someone who has decided that they want to be a doula and they're just starting their journey?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say just try to, like, find people that you want to support and that want support as well. Yeah, and because that will kind of just kind of get your foot in the door and give you, I guess, practice.
In a good environment.
In a good environment, yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, the training can... At least I left the training feeling very enthusiastic. And I still have that now.
Right.
And every time I meet a new family, I'm very excited for them to have their baby and to support them and things like that. And so I think once you kind of get a taste of that sort of excitement and that passion, like, it really propels you to move forward and kind of fulfill like the goals that you set for yourself.
So I think
finding families to support is kind of the key, and find a good kind of maybe doula network, like try to start networking, and there are a lot of Facebook groups now specific to region where you can find doulas that will like mentor you. That's been very helpful. I recently attended like a therapy session with other doulas about compassion fatigue, and that just helps you process, like, obviously supporting people in these vulnerable states can really take its toll, especially if they have had traumatic experiences and they're kind of unloading on you. You need a support. You need doulas to doula you.
Right.
And to help you like cope with that. And because it's not the type of work that you leave at work usually, like it comes home with you.
Right.
Emotionally.
Yes.
And so you kind of want to just start kind of making friends and meet other doulas and things like that, that can be your mentors, that you can learn from, that you can get advice from, or even just, you know, if you're a birth doula, say, you know, you can call them and be like, wow, I just had a 32-hour labor and I need to talk about it.
Right.
Or if you're a postpartum doula and maybe you saw some like really weird stuff at the family home and you're like,
right,
you leave and you're like, wow, that was not a healthy environment to be in. And I don't know how it feels to have a newborn in that environment. Like, I need to talk to somebody about that.
Yeah.
So that's just reality.
Right.
You know, so it's beautiful, but not always glamorous.
Yes. Yes. And having a good person to bounce, or
exactly.
People.
Yeah. And just like with nannies, it helps to talk to other nannies about nanny life. And same thing with doula work.
Yeah. That's great advice. Well, thank you. Is there anything else that you feel like we didn't touch on, or?
No, I think I might have covered most of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. You did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
But if you at home are like, but wait, I have this question and they didn't answer it for me, please email in to chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. And actually, this is the first episode where I can introduce our phone number.
All right.
We just got a phone number. So it is 773 769 773-769-7799. So you can call in to that number if, like, you just don't feel like writing an email. You can call in and I will answer questions on that. And or if you want to call in and leave a fun story for our tag at the end, then it gets to be in your words and your voice patterns. So you can leave that, and I will take some of those and tag them on to the end. But remember when you leave those that I don't use child's names. No, so do not include the kids you nanny's names at all. But yeah, other than that, if you want to give us a phone call, please do. And also visit Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and chroniclesofnania.com. I'll put up the resources that Mary talked about on there, links to those, so you can find them.
Yeah, and if anybody, contacts you with questions about being a doula, please feel free to give them my email. I'm happy to answer questions too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. So I can put you in touch with Mary, because before this episode, I am so much more educated now after this, which is one of the reasons that I love doing this podcast, because I learned so much. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And then we end each episode with a cute, funny, or uplifting story. And Mary's brought one for us.
Yeah. So with my part-time nannying, I also provide backup support to other nannies when they go on vacation or they're sick. So I was covering for a nanny while she's away on vacation, and I was with a 3-year-old little boy, and we were singing Mary Had a Little Lamb, and he stops midway, and he looks at me very seriously, and he says, "Wait, you're Mary, but you don't have a lamb." Oh my gosh. And I thought it was so funny, and I said, "No, you're right. I don't have a lamb." And he was genuinely concerned.
Oh my goodness.
That this song was written about me. He thinks it's written about me, and that I don't have a lamb.
Oh,
so I thought it was just very sweet.
That is so sweet. Oh my gosh.
He offered to give me one of his stuffed lambs.
Oh, how kind.
Yeah, it was very sweet.
I love that spirit. 3 is such a great age for that.
It is.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.